All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're tackling, I guess you could say, some pretty weighty stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. We're going deep on Christology. This is really the bedrock of Christian belief, you
Yeah,
know?
for sure. And it's something I know a lot of our listeners are, well, really interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who is Jesus? What does it mean that he's, the Son of God?
Right. And luckily, one of our listeners sent in some super interesting material that really gets to the heart of all this.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's going to give us a lot to unpack for sure. I think our mission here is kind of to, get a handle on the basic ideas, the
Yeah.
building blocks
It's
essentially.
building blocks of Christology, exactly.
And also, a little bit of the historical context, like how do we even get to where we are today in terms of understanding who Jesus is?
Right, that's huge. I mean, 'cause it's not like, this stuff just appeared out of thin air.
No, not at all. There's
Yep.
a long and fascinating history there.
Totally. Okay, so maybe the best place to start is to kind of lay down some I guess some key concepts, some theological terms that we're going to be, throwing around a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And the first one I think that's really crucial is the idea of preexistence.
Pre-existence. Okay.
So this is the idea that, Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, didn't just sort of pop into being
Oh,
in
yeah.
Bethlehem.
Right.
He's eternal. Like his existence goes all the way back before he was born as a human. The material that our listener sent in, it highlights this, this idea that his human life, yeah, it began in Mary's womb.
Yeah.
As God the Son, he's always existed.
Okay. So then how do we wrap our heads around the incarnation then?
Right, yeah, and that's where it gets really mind-blowing.
Like, yeah.
The incarnate, that's the eternal God becoming fully human
Okay.
in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And the way that this happened is super significant through the virgin conception. And I think it's important to be clear that, we're talking about normal human birth,
Yeah.
but the conception itself was unique. A supernatural work of the Holy Spirit within Mary.
Wow. Okay, so directly connected to this idea of the incarnation are these two, these twin pillars, you could say,
Right.
of understanding who Jesus is, his deity, and his humanity.
Absolutely. So his deity means that Jesus is fully God. He's not just a good teacher or a prophet. He is God in every sense. Equal to the Father and the Holy Spirit in his being and his glory, but still distinct from them.
Right. And the material from our listener, it really emphasizes this idea of the humanity of Christ,
Yeah, and it's so important.
which, I think sometimes we can, in our eagerness to affirm his divinity, we can kind of accidentally downplay his real humanity.
Yeah, for sure. But he was fully man.
Yeah.
And that doesn't take away from his divinity at all.
No.
They both matter. They're essential to who he is and to what he accomplished.
Absolutely. Okay, so these two realities, the divine and the human, it's not like they're just, side by side within him or something.
No, not at all. And that brings us to the idea of the unity of the person.
Okay.
So Jesus is one person, not like two separate individuals in the same body or anything strange like that.
Right, yeah.
But, as some of the early church fathers put it, the God-man, one person with two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. And that union, it's permanent, it's forever.
Okay, wow. So then when we think about Jesus's life and ministry, we encounter this thing called the two states doctrine,
Yes.
which is it's kind of a way of understanding Jesus's earthly journey and then his current glory. That really developed after the Reformation. And it talks about his state of humiliation,
Yeah.
which basically covers everything from his conception, his humble birth, all the way through his suffering and burial.
And that's a powerful image, when you really stop and think about who he is.
Yeah.
And then, that state of humiliation is followed by his state of exaltation, which began with his resurrection.
Right.
And continues, through his ascension and will be fully realized at his return. And here's the thing. Even in his state of exaltation, Jesus remains fully human.
Okay, so it's not like he's less human now.
No, not at all. It's not a change in his nature, but a change in the way his glory and his majesty are shown.
Okay, I'm starting to get it. So we've got all these concepts, and they paint this pretty remarkable picture,
I
right?
do.
But the material that our listener shared also brings up this idea of of mystery in the Christian faith.
Right, right. And that's where we hit the limits of our human understanding.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, trying to grasp these truths that are in part beyond us.
Yeah.
I mean, Christian faith acknowledges that there are certain things that God has revealed that while we can understand them to a degree, they ultimately remain mysteries.
Okay.
And the person of Christ is one of these central mysteries, alongside, of course, the Trinity.
Yeah. Okay. So when we talk about a mystery in this, you know, theological sense, we don't mean like something irrational.
Right.
It's a truth that God has shown us that has elements that are just beyond our ability to fully grasp.
Exactly. And the fact that they are divinely revealed is key. It's not like we just can't figure them out on our own.
Yeah.
God has chosen to reveal these things to us.
Okay. I like that. So let's kind of zero in on these two big mysteries for a second.
Okay.
So first, the Trinity. This idea that there's one God who exists eternally in three distinct persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Right.
And they're equal in their divine nature and power and glory, and they sort of mutually indwell one another, which I don't know about you, but like my brain really struggles with that.
It is. It's a lot to take in. But the material you shared, it makes a good point that the threeness and the oneness of God, they're not referring to the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Which helps a bit.
Yeah.
But ultimately, how God can be both three and one, well, it remains a mystery. And throughout history, you know, attempts to deny either the unity or the Trinity, well, they've been seen as pretty problematic, leading to all sorts of heresies.
Right. Okay. So then the second big mystery is the incarnation. This idea that the Son of God, who is fully divine, right?
Yes.
Becomes one person with two natures, both fully divine and fully human. That baby lying in the manger, that child in Mary's arms, that was fully God.
It is a truly astounding claim.
It is.
With huge implications.
Yeah. So how can one person truly be both God and man at the same time?
Right. I mean, that's the heart of the mystery of the incarnation, right?
Right.
And the material that you've got points out that, you know, the church has been wrestling with this for centuries.
Yeah.
Especially when faced with different interpretations, different errors.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and in fact, a lot of the theological development, just like with the Trinity, mm-hmm. has been shaped by these historical debates, mm-hmm. these attempts to articulate the truth of God's word when people got it wrong.
Yeah, I can see that. So this brings us to something that your material talks about. It's kind of an apparent tension, I guess you could say.
Okay.
Within the biblical accounts of Jesus's life.
Okay.
And that is, you know, on the one hand, we see the disciples affirming that Jesus knows all things.
Right.
But then Jesus himself says that not even he knows the exact time of his return.
Yeah, that's a good point. How do you make sense of those two seemingly contradictory statements?
Yeah. Yeah, how do you reconcile those?
Yeah, that's a really insightful question. And I think the key to understanding it is to remember the context of Jesus' state of humiliation.
Okay.
During his time on earth.
Right.
The view that we're looking at here, it really stresses that Jesus never gave up any of his divine attributes. He didn't relinquish any part of his divine nature.
Yeah.
And that's actually different from some more radical forms of what's called a kenotic theology, which suggests that he sort of emptied himself of certain divine attributes.
Oh, okay, I see. So it wasn't that he lost his divine power or knowledge or anything like that.
Right.
But it was more of a deliberate choice to not always exercise those powers.
Yes.
Sort of independently from the Father's will during his earthly ministry.
Precisely. His whole life was characterized by submission to the Father's will.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, while he had the inherent ability to know all things as God, he didn't always actively use that knowledge in his human consciousness during his earthly life. However, in his state of exaltation, now he certainly does know the time of his return.
Okay. So it's kind of a paradox. Like the same person who's omniscient, you know,
right,
is operating within these limitations.
Yes.
that he willingly embraced during his incarnation.
It's a lot to wrap your head around. And you see similar dynamics with his power, right?
Yeah.
He demonstrates incredible power at times, but then willingly submits to suffering and death on the cross.
Wow. Okay. So just to kind of, you know, bring it all back together.
Right.
We've been talking about all these foundational terms of Christology, like, you know, preexistence and incarnation and deity and humanity. And all this has been leading up to this understanding of the unity of his person and the doctrine of the two states. And And then we explored these two, you know, these two fundamental mysteries, the Trinity and the two natures of Christ within one person.
That's a great summary.
So the material from our listener points out that that systematic theology, it's really valuable, you know, for organizing all these concepts in a coherent way.
Right.
But it can have a potential drawback, which is that it can, you know, by its very nature, it can sometimes create these artificial separations.
Yes.
Between truths that are actually deeply interconnected in Scripture.
Right. Like the person of Christ and the work of Christ. They're intrinsically linked.
Yeah.
And passages like John 1, Colossians 1, Philippians 2, Hebrews 1, they all beautifully weave together who Jesus is with what he's done.
Yeah. So as we've been saying, a lot of our understanding of these core truths has really developed through these historical, you know, discussions and debates, and the early church's efforts to really try to nail down the nature of Christ and the Trinity. It wasn't just an academic exercise, right? Mm-hmm. It was often a response to what were considered, you know, serious errors that really threatened the heart of the Christian message.
Exactly. And that historical development, it led to different approaches in how theologians have approached Christology.
Okay.
Two common categories are Christologies from above and Christologies from below.
Okay. So Christologies from above, they typically start with the pre-existent Son of God.
Right.
Who then took on human flesh in the incarnation.
Right. And that was kind of the dominant way of thinking in the early church. And it's, you know, it's evident in a lot of the biblical texts.
Okay.
But then you've got Christologies from below that begin with the human Jesus.
Okay.
His life, his teachings, his miracles. And then from there, move towards understanding his divine identity. And your material mentions Wolfhart Pannenberg as a more recent theologian who kind of intentionally started his Christology relatively from below, as he put it.
Oh, interesting.
Perhaps offering a contrast to those earlier approaches.
I see. So both these approaches, they offer valuable perspectives, right?
Yeah.
But they also carry some potential risks, I guess you could say.
They do. A Christology that starts from below, it might struggle to really get to the conclusion that Jesus is truly divine.
Yeah.
And end up just seeing him as like an exceptional human being.
Right, right.
And then conversely, a Christology that begins from above, well, it might sometimes have a hard time fully appreciating and affirming the realness and significance of Jesus's humanity.
So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive into the foundations of Christology, I don't know, it really makes you think.
It does.
About the significance of these early debates and the careful, you know, step-by-step development of these core theological ideas. So, you know, listener, I guess the question for you is how does understanding all this shape your own understanding of Jesus and the Christian faith? It really makes you think about the incredible balance between the divine and the human in who Jesus is and why both of those are so important.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's something to ponder.
Yeah.